Good morning. Today is Wednesday, April 24th, and my name is Scott Shera. I am Grace's dad. We're going to jump right in. Don, can you go to slide one, please? So today is an interesting monocast because what I've done is taken 3,500 hours of research. That's the research I have in so far, boiled it down to the high points in 26 slides and 4 videos, and I want to go through 3,500 hours in 35 minutes. So the title, Hospitals and Care Facilities Are Federally Mandated Killing Fields. All right, next slide, Don. The reason I'm here, yeah, my little buddy. So you can see when she was about 3 and what my hair color looked like then. It was a pretty special time. And it was special all the way up until the end. And my favorite picture of Grace is on the right. This is the day I stopped killing dandelions in the lawn. She picked that beautiful bouquet for my wife, Cindy. All right, let's go to the next slide. Oh, Grace was super high functioning for somebody with Down syndrome. People don't really realize what's possible with somebody with Down syndrome. And we looked at her life as the sky's the limit. So she did public speaking. She could read, write. She played violin, almost nothing she couldn't do. And the surprise was she learned how to drive. I taught her how to drive. So Don, play that clip, please.
Oh, you're doing great.
Hi, Paul. I'm driving this car I bought from you.
All right, we'll go to the next slide. That was really a special time. All right, so we're going to dive in now. Let's find out what's behind the curtain. And we're going to look first at Grace's chart from her last day. Go ahead and put up the next slide, Don. I'm just going to hit the high points here. And when I spread out her last day in a timeline, that's when I started to realize something nefarious happened. Because you just don't give somebody Presidex, lorazepam, and morphine in a 29-minute window unless your goal is to euthanize them. And they did that. And when it came time to revive Grace, they wouldn't even do it. Instead, the medical staff stood outside the room with a guard and hollered back, "She's DNR, do not resuscitate." And as we peeled back the layers with the records and then our phone records to boot, we see that the doctor put an illegal do not resuscitate order on Grace's chart, simultaneous with getting off the phone with Cindy and I the morning of Grace's last day, when he told us how great of a day Grace had the day before, and let's work on nutrition, let's get her out of bed. So when you start connecting the dots, you realize something really evil happened, and that's what got me into being a full-time advocate and researcher. All right, let's go to the next slide, Don. All right, so when you have the opportunity to look at medical records, and this takes a lot of time, but it's worth the effort. You really have to invest the time reading every single page. Well, this particular page is from the first full day when Grace was in the hospital, October 7th of 2021. And when you look at what this doctor said, so you can see his name was Anthony Zimet. He was considered the COVID expert at St. Elizabeth's Hospital. Well, in his first day's report, he referenced that Grace had Down syndrome 4 different times. He referenced that we're Christian. He referenced that we're following the frontline doctor's misinformation campaign. But the real zinger is at the end. His last line of the first day report says, "I think the patient probably would not be here if she had been fully vaccinated." It is really strange, the bias, and it's not strange anymore now that I'm awake, but you go into a hospital thinking it's a safe zone, and then you see, well, they come to the table with a program bias. All right, we'll go to the next slide, Don. The programming is reinforced then by the state medical board. So the licensing board, when I wrote a complaint about Dr. Shokar writing the illegal do not resuscitate order, they wrote back and said that the Wisconsin statute for DNR, which is chapter 154, does not apply to physicians operating in a hospital non-emergency room setting such as the one in question. I mean, wrap your head around that. That means a doctor in a hospital can put an illegal do not resuscitate order on anybody he wants to at any time without any permission. So it is, that is quite a wake-up call when you see what is authorized by their own licensing board. And of course, COVID exposed this, but it's way bigger than COVID, which we're going to see as we keep going. Let's go to the next slide, Don. All right. So I want to drill down some of the very important things that I have discovered through the research. So, you know, why is this happening? How did we get here? And what's the legal authority? Let's go to the next slide. You saw in the opening slide, I'm calling this eugenics. You know, I've traced the current eugenics movement back to the early 1900s when the United States developed the sterilization plans. But ultimately, the first document that I saw that was in writing, where it was no longer hidden, was this document, the plan to depopulate the United States. And I found this document in searching for a weekly reader document from 1968 when I went to kindergarten, because I have a vivid memory of that weekly reader telling programming five-year-olds that it's irresponsible to have more than two children. And if your parents have an electric can opener, that's wrong because it's stealing resources that we don't have. So I think, you know, in kindergarten as a five-year-old, you know, you kind of just accept this stuff. And so it influences your thinking subconsciously without knowing it. Well, now when you see what's going on, you see this whole thing is a population reduction agenda, and it's been by design. Let's go to the next slide. This is when Don plays this video, I want you to pay particular attention to the claims about the Canadian medical system. And then we're going to come back and discuss it. So go ahead, Don.
So Canada has a big assisted suicide program for all kinds of Canadians, right, Jen?
Yeah, it's pretty shocking, Chris. Canada is set to expand its assisted suicide program in 2024 to include the mentally ill. The program is only 7 years old, but the latest data shows the number of deaths under the Medical Assistance and Dying program rises every year. Officials in Canada say they've been prudent and thought the expansion through, but one medical expert tells Reuters that most mental illnesses aren't even fully understood, so they shouldn't be eligible. Obviously, this is a tough topic, one that can get pretty heated. It's pretty dark. You know, I think, Jason, probably something you and I can agree on is I don't want any doctor or any government telling me what I can or can't do with my body.
I think that there's a fundamental problem with the Canadian health system, which is that when socialized medicine doesn't work. This is, you know, where they have long waiting lists, they have outdated drugs, they have equipment that's, you know, substandard. There's so many problems with the Canadian system that for them, it's like, let's move quickly and, you know, get rid of these mentally ill people. And it also raises a question, what if you are a mentally ill person that you can't really make that decision? Is someone else going to make the decision for you?
Mentally ill people, homeless people, yeah. People living in poverty. Mm-hmm. How about, you know, people with Down syndrome and then gypsies or something?
You know? Yeah, no, I mean, you can't have euthanasia as an option for having poor, you know, safety net systems and providing for your society. It's just cruel. It's inhumane. And it's, quite frankly, it's gross. And Canada's not the only country in the world that allows for this. But they are exceptional in a few instances where they do contrast with other countries. They don't have a commission to look into wrongful deaths. Somebody who might have gone in there for a minor injury and then, you know, couldn't get the treatment that they needed. There was a case that I read about of a man who complained of hearing loss, and they put him down. And there's no commission, so the family members are lost. Also, you know, doctors can basically suggest that you should be put to death. In most other countries, that's right. Not the case. Nurses can provide euthanasia, and you're not required to exhaust all the other treatment options. So if you're at the end of the line, you can just choose to die rather than to choose other treatments that might be successful.
Well, maybe the Canadian medical system's long waiting list will be the salvation, and people will have a chance to change their minds.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I think, you know, what's next is it then, you know, the baby boomer population, the aging, the elderly that are suddenly a burden on society. Mm-hmm. When do they become the next target of something like this?
It's the stuff of science fiction.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to slide 11, Don, and we're going to peel this apart quite a bit because I think it's critical. People don't just see this as predictive programming. They see it as the United States is the best country in the world at projecting our sin onto everybody else, when in fact we're the leader in the sin category. And those of you who are thinking Newsmax as the corner on the truth, your first reaction should be, after I explain what they lied about, is that Newsmax is clearly in on it. So look at things that the key words that they talked about. First, that they said, well, in Canada, you know, nurses can kill patients, doctors can kill patients. Well, look at the headline in the lower left. Doctors won't help patients kill themselves, so the state enlists nurses. This was a law that was passed in June of last year in the state of Hawaii. You can't make this stuff up. Then the Joint Commission, they said, well, we, you know, they mentioned the word commission. You're probably, what did that mean? Well, we have in the United States what's called the Joint Commission, and their job is to basically give the gold medal stamp of approval to medical facilities. Well, they're a complete joke. We filed a complaint with the Joint Commission. Of course, you get the standard form letter back that you know, we're checking this out, and we did check it out, and of course, they did nothing wrong. Well, just to show how we're first to the punch with socialized medicine, look at Obamacare Section 1553. Well, Obamacare first, passed on March 23rd of 2010, codified socialized medicine in the United States. But then it also put in motion the euthanasia agenda. And look at the underlying portion. The government may not subject an individual, that's a doctor, or an institutional healthcare entity, a hospital, nursing home, hospice care facility, to discrimination on the basis that that entity does not provide any healthcare item or service furnished for the purpose of causing or for the purpose of assisting in causing the death of any individual, such as by assisted suicide, euthanasia, or mercy killing. So we legalized those three methods to kill on March 23rd of 2010, and we legalized a substantially bigger method to kill by Ronald Reagan signing the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act into law on November 14th of 1986. All right, let's go to the next slide, Don. So now you think, okay, so they did all this stuff, but then what we learned in COVID really woke me up to this bigger agenda. Because we heard these words over and over, safe and effective, and you think, how is this possible? Well, because the government repealed in 2012 the Smith-Mundt Act. So the Smith-Mundt Act came into play in 1948. It was a law that said the government cannot use propaganda against its own citizens. We could only use propaganda in foreign countries. Well, that was repealed, and with the specific goal, it says, you look at the bill, it says to authorize the domestic dissemination of information. So it became legal for the government to lie to us. So when they said safe and effective, you know, I'm going to show you this with the Brooke Jackson case in just a little bit. When they said safe and effective, they knew they were lying to us, and it was okay because it was legal. All right, let's go to the next slide, which is the Brooke Jackson case. So if you go all the way back to the Flexner Report, The Flexner Report was written in 1910, and the goal seemed good, like all these goals seem good, but they're all by design. So the goal then was, we need to trust the science. So the Carnegies hire Abraham Flexner to write this report to say allopathic medicine is the way to go, and we're going to follow trust the science. And what they did is threw everything else, chiropractic, naturopath, homeopathic, everything else under the bus, and labeled it as quackery. So that was a formal stake in the ground. This had actually started before that, but it was a formal stake in the ground to say, we're going to trust the science. Well, trust the science morphed into safe and effective. And this Brooke Jackson case is so profound. It came into my final slide series as one of the top things I saw in 3,500 hours of research. So Brooke Jackson filed her False Claims Act against Pfizer January 8th of 2021. Those of you who are not aware of what a False Claims Act is, or is the what happens if you work for a company that's defrauding the government, you can become a federal whistleblower. So she did. And it's an impressive lawsuit. She's accusing Pfizer of not doing any testing of the vaccine. All right. And I should say vaccine in quotes. Well, when you see at the top, I say the truth is stranger than fiction, because Pfizer's defense is this was not a vaccine. It was a prototype. And here's our other authority agreement that we have with the Department of Defense to prove it. So we didn't have to do any testing. It's like, what? Well, then, you know, the federal government is supposed to support their whistleblower. But on October 4th of 22, they come in and support Pfizer instead of the whistleblower. And they wrote in their document to support, you see what it's titled, United States Statement of Interest Supporting Dismissal of the Amended Complaint. So they're making a motion to dismiss the case. And they write in their motion, the complaint does not plead factual content to support a conclusion that compliance with the clinical trial protocol or regulations was necessary under the contract between Pfizer and the Army. All right, so peel this back to the time frame. So this lawsuit is filed in May of 21. The government already admitted the jab causes myocarditis in the fourth quarter. Now they're afraid this is going to get out to the public. So in the fourth quarter of 2021, that's the quarter Grace was murdered in, hospital murders were at an all-time high, and doctors were incentivized to give the jab. I think I have a slide on that coming up, because they knew that the more that this gets out into the public, they're not going to be able to convince people to take this bioweapon anymore. Well, as God's providence would have it, one of the attorneys for Brooke Jackson happens to also be one of our attorneys. And Warner and I were talking one evening, and I was doing some research on this case. And I said, Warner, have you ever heard of the Brooke Jackson case? He said, yeah, I'm one of the attorneys. So he sends me a bunch of documents, saved me probably 20 hours of research into the case myself. It was great. So it summarized everything. And I talked with Warner last week, and on the upper right-hand corner, he gave me this update. He has to go to Texas, because this is a filing in federal court in Texas. And on May 1st, they're having what's called a hearing on motion to intervene and dismiss. And what's the reason? This is a quote. It contradicts public health policy. Specifically, they want to dismiss this case because if it gets out that this was never a vaccine, the citizenry of the United States would lose all confidence in the United States health policy, which, of course, that's the goal. That's why I'm speaking out. We need to lose confidence because they're lying to us. All right, let's go to the next slide, Don. All right, how did we get doctors and facilities to kill? This is quite interesting. All right, well, let's go to slide 15. It starts with the banality of evil. The banality of evil means evil is so common we don't recognize it. So obviously the public fool system, as I explained even when I was a kindergartner in 68, is all designed to program us. But I'll just drill down to the disabled abortion culture for a minute, because that's near and dear to me. Grace had Down syndrome. 90% of children with Down syndrome are aborted in the womb today. So what does that look like? Well, what it looks like is the standard of care relative to a young couple getting pregnant is they go to see the doctor. The doctor says, congratulations, you're pregnant. Let's schedule your amniocentesis. They're not the wiser. They have no roots. They only care, does my insurance pay for it? Well, of course they do, because they're in on it. So they schedule the amniocentesis. It comes back with a disability, let's say Down syndrome for this purpose. And the doctor recommends an abortion because Down syndrome people, and you're going to see a slide on this in a little bit, are nothing but problems. So the couple without roots just blindly follows the white coat, who's also programmed, and schedule the abortion. That's what the banality of evil looks like in the United States of America. All right, let's go to the next slide, Don, slide 16. All right, this one I want to invest a little bit of time on, because most people are not familiar. They just assume Medicare and Medicaid has always been there. Well, it actually hasn't always been there. It began in 1965 under President Johnson, and the idea was to help the disabled and elderly. And I want you to think about all of these programs in terms of the agenda being laid out over a long period of time. versus these programs started and all of a sudden they take advantage of people later on. I see this now as all by design. This is simply another cog in the wheel laid out to hasten our death. So now when you start looking at Medicare and Medicaid, you see that, okay, it makes sense. We've got to take care of the elderly and the disabled. So we pay into Medicare through payroll deduct, and then it's supposedly free when we turn 65. Well, you end up paying for it regardless when you're 65. And if you choose to not participate, there's a penalty for not participating. But what the real kicker is, we're going to get with the next slide, is the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, writes standards of care that are designed to hasten our death. And we'll cover that here in just a minute. So what's going on is this whole system was set up. It started in 1965, no participants. Now there's 135 million Americans on the program. The cost of this program is $3 trillion a year. So not just Medicare and Medicaid, but all the supporting services, the Social Security, everything to take care of the elderly and the disabled is $3 trillion a year, 50% of the annual federal budget. So now what they've done is convinced us that through the spirit of collectivism, which is best documented by Ezekiel Emanuel in 1996, when he said, non-contributing members of society don't deserve medical care. All right, so that's collectivism. It says we need to worry about the good of society versus the good of the individual. So these low-hanging fruit, the disabled and the elderly, we need to restrict medical care for them because they cost too much. We need to look out for the good of the healthy members of society. That's what's been sold and programmed to our entire system. And it's absolutely so evil. Then one final nail in the coffin with this is, what's the end game? So the end game with Medicare is ultimately a nursing home. And if you haven't done any estate planning to protect your assets, your entire estate is now has a lien on it to pay for the nursing home cost to end your life. I mean, this is, again, you can't make this stuff up. So you end up paying for some, it's a big lie. It's a big sham. You end up paying 100% for this supposed care. And you're going to see in just a minute why that's a scam in multiple from multiple perspectives. So the first perspective, slide 17, is CMS writes all the standards of care. All right, so when you think about this, what am I talking about? So standards of care seems like a good word or a good phrase, but it's not standards of care that are helpful. They're standards of care to hasten death, and hastening death is murder. Simple example, you get diagnosed with cancer today, what happens? You go to sit down with the doctor, and after the shock, you might ask, well, how long do I have to live, doctor? And you start talking through things, and what the doctor does is he convinces you to schedule your chemo or radiation treatment. But just take a step back. What's the standard of care for cancer? He only has three tools in his tool chest. He can cut, radiate, or chemo. Cutting is the only legitimate tool in that tool chest, and that presumes the right kind of cancer caught early enough. The other two are designed to kill you. Chemo has literally a 2.1% success rate. That means it has a 98% kill rate. It's like, what? And so then the doctor's program, he can't get paid unless he follows the standards of care. You're programmed to follow the doctor, and you're not aware that cancer's already been cured for most cancers because all the programming relative to cancer, the fear around cancer. So you only ask one question, does my insurance cover it? And of course, your insurance covers it because they are in on it. So then you and your doctor sign your death certificate that day and schedule your first chemo appointment for the next year. And then to add one more piece to this puzzle, standards of care, you see on the right-hand side, the state licensing board gives a get-out-of-jail card free to the doctor if they follow standards of care. If the doctor recommends something other than the standard of care, he doesn't have immunity from liability. And in all likelihood, will lose his license, as we saw with the doctors who were recommending hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or writing exceptions from the mask mandate we saw all of that with COVID. All right, let's go to the next slide, Don. Don's going to play a short clip just to show everybody this is that CMS truly controls the healthcare system. Go ahead, Don.
How many nursing homes are under federal care, or does the federal government own? Are there any? I know they're state and they're private, but does the federal government have direct control? Are there any federal nursing home facilities?
Well, the VA has some nursing homes, but in terms of my agency, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, we set the federal guidelines of safety and quality. And then we work with the states to inspect these nursing homes to make sure they're adhering to those guidelines. But ultimately, states license these facilities. What the federal government can do if a nursing home isn't compliant is we can withhold their reimbursement from Medicare or Medicaid.
We're into the idea. How are they pulling this off? So they do it through long-term banality of evil. They've done it through Medicare and Medicaid. They've done it through standards of care. And now this next one is they have indoctrination documents that show doctors, you've got to kill these patients. So this one happens to be related to Down syndrome. And it facilitates the idea of why a doctor recommends a young couple abort their Down syndrome son or daughter. If you look on the right-hand side, they just list all kinds of problems that Down syndrome people have. They don't look at anything good. Grace was the best thing God ever gave us, second to salvation. She was just a wonderful gift to life, but they just list all the problems. So they're not talking about all the good. Then they want to set the doctor up to be the white horse coming in as the savior to save the family. And you see what I highlighted, the lifelong toll on families is high. Part of a robust plan of care includes acknowledgement of this toll by healthcare workers. What? But then the kill statement is the next one. Whenever possible, decision makers, that's the doctors, for people with Down syndrome should be encouraged to use substituted judgment to make key palliative care decisions. All efforts should be made to determine the preferences of the patient. However, because of lifelong cognitive impairment, the views of the person with Down syndrome may not be known. I mean, this is insanity beyond insanity. The view of the Down syndrome person is the same as you and me. They want to live. They give these indoctrination documents to the doctors so that they can conveniently check a box and think that they're not doing anything wrong by killing population groups. All right, let's go to the next slide, Don, slide 20. All right, so then you might think that, okay, I've got informed consent. I'll protect myself with informed consent. And the American Medical Association has a code of ethics for informed consent. Well, what we found with Grace's situation is they don't care about that. They know they can't be sued. And so informed consent goes out of the window. I mean, they sometimes tell you what they did after the fact, but there is no such thing as informed consent. In one of the attorney's motions to dismiss in our lawsuit, this is what they wrote. I mean, they wrote this with the idea, judge, you got to throw this case out. And they wrote, the legislature's purpose in enacting a statutory scheme to govern claims for damages arising out of alleged medical malpractice was to encourage healthcare providers to remain in Wisconsin by imposing certain limits on the causes of action that a patient or her family member can pursue and the types and amount of damages that can be recovered. I mean, we need to put a wall around these doctors. No matter what they do, they get a free pass because they might not come to our state. It's like, wow. When I read this, I thought, this is pretty bold. He wants the judge to throw out the case. The doctor did wrong, but if we hold them to account, they won't come to our state. Well, then we thought, well, what about the district attorney? I mean, the district attorney is there for the people, right? They're elected by the people. They should be there for the people. So we hired a different attorney to write a letter in July of 2023. We had previously approached the district attorney, and they chose to not be on board. But then he got on and really did a nice job writing a very pointed letter. And this excerpt is from the letter that he wrote, or excuse me, the response from the letter that he wrote from the district attorney. They write, a doctor is not required to administer treatment she or he believes is not medically effective. This includes authorizing a do not resuscitate order. The parties clearly had a dispute about how Dr. Shokhar should treat Grace. Dr. Shokhar did not abide by the wishes of the family. However, there is no law in Wisconsin that requires him to do so. So you think your informed consent is going to protect you? Think again. All right, let's go to the next slide, Don. So they pull this off, no surprise. God says the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. So they pull this off with money. And Ascension Hospital System is the system that Grace was killed at. They received $10 billion in government bonus money the first year of COVID. But how is this even possible? How can they do this? And this is why I say Medicare and Medicaid is a complete sham, meaning their goal that when they say, oh yeah, we're going to take care of the elderly and the disabled, well, their goal is to hasten their deaths. Do they have to hasten their deaths under this spirit of collectivism? No, it's a sham. And it's a sham because back on April 6th of 1933, that's when President Roosevelt made an edict that everybody had to turn their gold in. So this was the start of a slippery slope to eventually come off the gold standard in the 70s, and now we have a fiat currency. And with a fiat currency, they can do whatever they want. They can buy whoever they want. They can pay off whoever they want. We see this. I mean, they're writing blank checks to Israel, blank checks to the Ukraine, but we can't take care of the disabled and the elderly because they're too expensive. Yeah, I only can shake my head at that. All right, let's go to the next slide, Don. I mentioned this before, just a quick, this slide. By the way, all these slides are in the show notes. So please download this, share them, do whatever you want to wake up your friends and family. This is the fourth quarter of 2021. This is the quarter that we had an all-court press to get this bioweapon in everybody's arm. And Blue Cross Blue Shield, obviously incentivized by the government, says, hey, doctors, if you can convince 75% of your patients to take this jab that's going to kill them, we'll write you an extra check. These guys make about $250,000 a year. We'll write you a quarterly bonus of $296,000 if you can just help us out a little bit. All right, let's go to the next slide. God told us all of this is going to happen ahead of time. He warned us in Revelation 18:23, for your merchants were the most important people on earth, because with your pharmakia, they deceived all the nations. And I don't think that's a joke. Slide 24, it's prophetic. The United States has the key merchants of the world. We have deceived the entire world with our pharmakia. Look at this statistic from COVID. United States of America, number one of all 200 countries on the planet in a category you do not want to be number one on. Hospital murders, 1.2 million hospital murders. Number two, with a population of four times that of the United States, is India, 533,000 deaths, less than half of the United States. All right, let's go to the next slide. So what about the kids? So now parents start waking up to this, and they already know that. So they have put in place, let's make sure the kids can make decisions on their own. So look at this document. It says right at the top, parents who have proxy access to medical information, a child age 0 to 11 years old will automatically have that access removed by the system when the patient turns 12. So you can't even protect your kids anymore. These kids are trained in the public school system, and now they can have complete autonomy to their medical results and trajectory starting at age 12. All right, let's go to the next slide, Don. All right, so we're at slide 26, the mandate lie. And this is a big one, because where my research is really gone is the satanic agenda. And the satanic agenda wants us to get into dialectic traps. So you see, I titled this slide, Do You Really Have a Choice? And I did that because when I saw the vaxxed bus, it had a tagline, where there is risk, there must be choice. And I want to share that that's a dialectic trap. The whole mandate idea, we're going to mandate the jab, and then when they give us a choice, it seems like we won. Well, that's the idea. mandate choice, evil, less evil. Why? Because we haven't thrown out the whole vaccination agenda. The vaccination agenda is a huge lie. So then do we really have a choice? So people who think they have a choice, think through what's going on. They can illegally tell us about viruses and propagandize the citizenry by law, legally tell us things are safe and effective to combat viruses that don't even exist. Then the medical system is programmed to follow orders, and we're programmed to obey the white coat. And then we buy insurance to reinforce that obedience. Then the public school system demands compliance. So now both parents work. We need free babysitting service. Let's send them to the public school system. Well, they require 80 jabs just to enter the doors. So what happens with this whole idea, and COVID really showed it, is, okay, now let's have mandates. And then if we give the population a choice, we can keep the vaccination agenda going, because they won't see it, because now they're in the dialectic trap. We have to get to the point where seeing God's way is the only way that is good. He is always outside of the evil versus less evil dialectics of Satan. And you know, the whole vaccine psyop sets up the esoteric agenda that I want to finish with today. So let's go to slide 27. So exoterically, we can see evil versus less evil, but esoterically, behind the scenes, we have Revelation 13 playing out in real time, the Antichrist system versus the false prophet system. And big picture, we see those two represented, the Antichrist system represented by the Great Reset and the false prophet system represented by the Great Awakening. And what's missing with the Great Awakening movement, it's we're not acknowledging how we got here, which is rejecting God, and so consequently no repentance. I'm not going to drill that down further because Don's going to play the closing video, then we'll come back to two quick slides. Go ahead, Don.
Please come sit. I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice tumbling down the rabbit hole. I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he's expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in God, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain. You were programmed to believe that by taking the red pill, you would escape the Matrix. It is the sense that you have been lied to that has brought you to me. I want to share with you how to truly escape. You've always known that God exists because he put that knowledge into each of us within our souls. We cannot function as we should without loving God and obeying his commands. Life is empty without him, and apart from him, we can do nothing. You knew God existed when you were that scared little boy calling out to him for comfort. You recognized his existence when you escaped that car accident unscathed. You saw God in the eyes of your newborn baby. You've always known. The problem is, you've never given your life to him, Neo. Everything you've done has been about you, your family, your friends. It's never been about fulfilling your purpose on earth. Do you know what I'm talking about?
God?
Yes, God is everywhere. He is all around us. Even now, in this very room, you can see him when you look out your window or when you take a walk in the woods. You can feel him when you go to work, when you lose a loved one. He is always there. Satan has designed the matrix of the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
You've been lied to your entire life. The American dream, patriotism, the Constitution, money, wars, schools, government, church, spiritualism, all part of Satan's elaborate worldly schemes to lead you away from God. You are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell, taste, or touch. A prison for your mind and soul. Unfortunately, many people don't want the truth. They'll believe they have the power within themselves to right the world, to cure disease, to become enlightened. They're all misled, pursuing knowledge, further enslaving them. They are blind to Satan's dual nature, having men pursue both knowledge and security and comfort. You see, Satan lures men with knowledge, and when that trap leads to chaos, he becomes the angel of light, tempting with safety, security, and comfort. God has only wanted one thing since the beginning, Neo, to love you. Now you have a choice. Time is urgent. This is your last chance. After this, you can't say you were never told. You take the blue pill, and the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe, and live a life of emptiness as you chase worldly pleasures and accolades. You take the red pill and believe you have the truth, that even without God, you believe you're enlightened and can attain glory through your own works. Or you take the white pill. This is the hardest pill to swallow because it is the end of your selfish pursuits. It means you come to the place of repentance for straying from God, not following his commands, not loving him. You face yourself, finally. You acknowledge that your life means nothing without the creator of the universe in your life. The white pill is the most difficult, but it is also the most rewarding. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. Will you follow him?
Thank you, Don. All right. So, you know, the conclusion is, unless you see that this battle is spiritual, none of this makes sense. When you see that this is a long game being played out over 6,000 years and it's a battle for souls, all of a sudden you wake up to the reality and you won't be trapped by the satanic dialectics any longer. All right. Two closing slides. Please visit our main website, ouramazinggrace.net. You can see in the upper right-hand corner, you can subscribe to our Substack. The latest series, the Matrix Revealed series, you can see is right next to the store button. And that's a three-part series. If you go to the homepage, you're going to see the Medical Murder series. The seven-part series is on the left-hand side. We have Breaking the Oath on the right-hand side. That's the documentary that we were part of that was released in May of 2023. And then finally, on the homepage, if you want to follow our lawsuit, there's a link to grayshara.com, and we are putting together our own database for calls to actions as we get closer to the November trial date. Last slide is a picture of our current family. So Jess on the left, of course, yours truly in the middle, and my bride on the right. And, you know, of course, they messed with the wrong girl. And, you know, I'm thankful that God continues to use us to shed light on the evil agenda. Thanks for watching today. I tried to do 3,500 hours and 35 minutes, but we didn't do it. We got 43 minutes and 42 seconds. Thanks for watching.